flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What a great
Richard
song.
Richard Nixon, Studebaker Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe.
I'm looking. I'm seeing how far you're willing to take it, James.
I know the whole song.
I know. I think we won't do that. Just
H-bomb,
about could.
H-Bomb, Sugar Ray, Pamunjom, Brando, the King and I, and the Catcher in the Rye,
really
Eisenhower
it.
Vaccine,
and
England's got a new queen, Marciano, Liberace, Satayana, goodbye.
I trust him.
You really think
I probably have like a Mondegreen or two in there at some point. Like there might be something where I think it's one thing and it's another, but I think I know all the words.
That's good. All right. Good morning to you. So life advice coming up in about 10 minutes. By the way, the 76ers, your team, your town, 4 in a row, Mr. Ritchie.
Yeah. They've somehow responded with
the 11 seed.
No one is watching whatsoever.
In a 10 seed. No, no one is watching. No one's watching.
Jimmy, did you have to like take the time to memorize that song over and over?
It's actually a great memory of mine because my dad, history was his favorite thing, obsessed with history. Like he was in real estate, but if he didn't, he always said he would have been a history professor. So I used the song, like I would go, hey, who was Johnny Ray? Who was, you know, what was this? What was that? And it was a way to like learn the words, but also to like learn history and be with my dad and stuff. So I have really fond memories of my dad passing away 20 years ago. Like, it's definitely a song that means a lot to me.
That's nice. That's very, very nice. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Violet right now. Violet, good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Super.
Very excited, Violet. We got a great football team.
I'm excited, too. I really am. I think we match up well.
Violet.
I am not.
Violet, before you get started, what is your favorite color?
What is my favorite color?
Yeah.
It's so hard to say. Actually, the Kelly Green is starting to be one of my favorites.
Oh, but I'm look surprised. At that. All right.
You weren't giving John what he was looking for.
I'm sorry.
Did you want purple?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought maybe.
Violet, you gave the best answer.
That was perfect.
Hammer-esque, if you ask me.
Yes. Sorry to interrupt.
Not at all. I have a question, and then I have a song, but I don't know if mine's going to be appropriate because I didn't realize it was a historical reference.
Well, I mean, it's just something that's real. I mean, anything that happened that's real is historical.
To me, it's a great song. I listen to it almost every Sunday morning, and it's Where Eagles Fly by Sammy Hagar.
Wow.
I think it's inspirational, and I always relate it to the Eagles, and I always use it when I do my Super Bowl ride. I also teach spins.
So. Yeah, it's kind of a roundabout. I'd say that probably does not qualify, but I like what you're going for there. Yeah,
it's cool. Okay. So I have a question about, and I'm a little concerned about this statistic where I saw Mahomes is 8-0 against Fangio. But I didn't really research the backdrop of that.
Well, some of it was the Broncos, you know. Right? I mean, Fangio didn't have the best teams in a lot
of cases.
Dolphins, yeah.
You know, and remember, there were issues.
It's only those two teams that he has played against Mahomes with. It's the Broncos and the Dolphins.
And Violet, I would add just for some reference, it's important to remember. I mean, Mahomes on an annual basis generally goes, I'll use the old terms, 12-4 or better, 13-3, 14-3. Like, he's going to have that type of record against a lot of people.
Also, Fangio was the head coach of the Broncos, too, so not like one-to-one type of thing. You know, you're not locked in on just the defense.
But, Violet, a good point to bring up. I'll give you another one, and thank you for the call. Here's another one. First time this week we're addressing it, but let's just put it out there because it's true. The Eagles still have never beaten Andy Reid. And they've played him like a decent amount now.
Well, they played him in the regular season out in Kansas City.
Wrong.
The Nick Sirianni yelling at the Chiefs fans game.
Ruined your whole job.
Horrible job.
That was a bad job. Especially because you bring that up. You brought that up all the time,
Horrible.
Nick. Yeah.
This is not a good sign for you.
Peter LaViolette is weighing in. Hold on.
Enough is enough. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
That is so bad by
me. What's funny is you even talked about that game this year when they beat the Ravens, and you talked about it being one of the best regular season wins. And they talked about that game.
Dump that audio, James. Make sure that doesn't make the air.
I think we're past the point of no return.
Ladies and gentlemen, that never happened.
In order to beat the Chiefs again, though, you got to stick to like keeping your foot depressed on that gas pedal.
Yeah.
You know, this is, even though we're running the ball a lot, it's we need to go break a lot of these. It's 70 yards and 70 yards and then over the top to AJ and then over the top to Devontae. It really is. We've got to score a
lot.
The 55 points in the NFC Championship game makes me feel like we're right where we need to be for what this Super Bowl is going to look
like. Well, that part helps. Here's another thing when the Eagles won that game last year on Monday Night Football that helped. Receiver dropped the ball. And I got to tell you, John, this Chiefs crew, I mean, it's got to be bottom five or seven in the whole NFL. I mean, they're weak. Now, Kelce is like a wide receiver, but he's technically
amazing.
Their wide receivers are weak.
Well,
they're weak.
Yeah, their best one's a rookie.
Smith they're weak.
Schuster's I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is old.
Yeah, Worthy is, remember, he runs a 4.2, is as fast as anyone in the NFL, and he can actually catch. He's not just the speed guy who can run only. He's a real weapon.
But my point is, it's not a good crew.
A
good crew.
It feels like the rest of the guys are sort of league average-ish.
Yep. All right, Dan in Warminster. Dan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. Listen every morning.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, buddy.
So I got a little bit of a theme to my call this morning. It's called underappreciated, okay? Mm-hmm. Not only Nick Sirianni and his tenure with the Eagles. Joe, you rip on him often enough, so you know this. But
Me. John, more than me. I'm pretty pro-Sirianni, but go ahead.
All right, well, okay. Here,
I had my moments. Don't get me wrong. I had my moments, but go ahead.
John can understand underappreciated. Like John, back in my heyday, I was a fullback, too.
Oh,
fullbacks
wow.
are underappreciated,
sorry,
man. Hey,
no.
Our job's to blow it up and, you know, get somebody else all the accolades, so.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to it. Jalen Hurts.
Thankless job, but you know what? I'm proud that you did that, Dan. Good work.
Hey, I got the ball
God's
on the first
work.
Play of the game. A 31 dive just to blow it up, and then the rest of the time's blocking. So.
That's beautiful.
So, Jalen Hurts, all right? We talk about his ability or inability to read a defense. You could say he's got problems adjusting to the blitz or getting the ball out of his hands, right? But the guy wins, and I know, Joe, you don't want to talk about Bama or Oklahoma, but just his pro record, right? He's 49-27-1.
Yeah, it's very impressive, obviously. Clearly impressive.
Yeah. He's got talent around him, but he's proven that he puts the ball in the hands of those playmakers. And, you know, he's been protecting the ball, especially after the bye week. I really just think this guy's got winner's DNA, and if he's given the opportunity – unlike in Super Bowl 57, if we get that ball, you know, last possession. He's going to win.
You know, that worries me a little bit, Dan, because I will say this. He hasn't done it much in the pros. It's been very unusual to have this many wins with very few in the last 2 minutes. You know,
this is true. I mean, but
it's just a fact.
You know, how many times, though, were we up big? At
no, I get it. I look. Oh, my voice just cracked. Oh, boy. That was a little voice crack.
Wow.
It's a two.
Yeah.
You're still recovering from being
I was waiting for an opportunity.
What am I recovering
from,
Dan?
Like a little sneeze. Achoo!
Still cracking up over that being wrong about how we never beat the Chiefs.
Oh, it was horrible. It was almost this horrible. It was almost that horrible. All right, Dan, give me an answer here. A great song with a real-life reference.
Before I get to that question for you guys, because my only concern is the coaching matchup. You got Andy Reid in the West Coast offense, underneath passing to Kelce, like Jason was talking about earlier. But you got guys like Pacheco, P. Ryan, who basically ended the game for him in the AFC Championship game. How do you think that they adjust to that? Who are they going to put on them? My hope is Cooper DeJean.
Which player are you talking about?
How they're going to cover up, especially Travis Kelce.
Well, that's the big one. Look, you got options. You got DeJean, you got Quinyon. You got your safeties.
It is astonishing how open he gets all the time.
Well, that's where, and Dan, here's what I think a lot. So I think it's two things primarily. One is his unique ability. I'm talking about Travis Kelce. Unique ability to route run, sense where the defenders are, find the spot, and him and Mahomes, the historical connection built on years of trust. That's one big part. But the second part is Andy Reid. I mean, and Dan, I'll give you an analogy from about 25 years ago. Barrett Brooks has told me a few different times that, you know, maybe the best of Bobby Hoyan was here when he had Gruden that 1 year. And Barrett said that, you know, Gruden would say to Bobby Hoyan, like, we're going to call a play, and this guy's going to be open. Like, he's going to be open. And then, like, sure as hell, the guy would be open, and Bobby Hoyan would throw him the ball, and Bobby Hoyan looked great. And then, of course, you know, Gruden was gone, and Bobby Hoyan had 98 here, and it was disastrous. And, like, great coordinators, I guess, because I don't know this as well, but from that reference, and we see it with Andy, can just scheme guys open. And Andy brings that to the table.
To simplify things, they know against this coverage, this route combination will work. We know against this coverage, this route combination will work. So it's all about getting the quarterback, the framework in place, to get the team into the proper play when that coverage presents itself or that front presents itself. And it really is very matter of fact. If you see this, then we get to this, and this will work.
Yeah.
This is a man beater. We're going to run 24 bingo cross. We're going to pry you open with these picks, you know, because it's man. Yeah. We know it's man. We can tell it's man because we sent you in pre-snap motion and the guy followed you across the formation.
And he may be the best of our lifetime. I mean, Bill Walsh was, you know, he's Bill Walsh. But, like, it's hard for me to imagine someone's been better this century. I'll put it that way. Dan, give me a great answer for a real-life, a song with reference.
Yeah, you got it. So I'm hoping this one wasn't taken. But, again, to wrap up my theme of underappreciated, how about Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen?
So, is it about the Vietnam War?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I'm not
a big
Springsteen guy. I think it is about the Vietnam War.
I don't know how it's underappreciated, though. Like, that's a super famous song that people talk about all the time.
Yeah, well, maybe if it's about the Vietnam War, maybe it's about the Vietnam War soldiers, who obviously, with a lot of people that are protesting, you can certainly make that case.
Yes, it is indeed about.
Yeah, no, okay, that makes sense there. All right, life advice, James. I mean, I'm always ready to get some advice. Let's do a little life advice with the hammer.
My life's a waste of time.
It's time.
I'm a tool.
For life advice with the hammer.
You know how rock bottom your life gotta be to get life advice from Joe DeCal?
Well, the hammer.
I'm an idiot. First piece of advice is never call yourself a tool or an idiot, because if you do on WIP, it can be played back for years. And so I should not have done that. Life advice with the hammer, brought to us by MHS Lift. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse efficiency assessment, any type of material handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, get yourself to MHSLift.com. Seltzer, what does someone need help with today?
You're getting a second chance, I would say, today.
Second chance.
Yeah, because last week we had a funny life advice where Ava's husband asked about naming their dog after him, Bill, and it was like, ha ha, stupid idea, don't do that.
Right.
We actually got a very similar question, except this is serious, okay?
Oh, boy.
This is from Ray on Twitter. Ray says, my wife and I are about to have our third baby. Last time the Eagles won the Super Bowl, we had just had our first baby boy, and we just found out that this one's going to be a boy as well. What can I do to convince my wife to name our future son Cooper after Cooper DeJean Goberts?
How do you convince your wife to name the kid Cooper? Well, right off the top of my head, I got to tell you, I'm immediately semi-stumped. You can hope that Cooper DeJean plays a good game at the Super Bowl, I guess.
That'll be easier.
That would help. That would help the, you know, but you can't influence that. How can you influence her to name the kid Cooper? I don't know, John. You got some help for me here? I'm really struggling with this one.
Well, I think it makes sense to try to find other Coopers.
That's
that
what I was thinking,
interesting.
John.
Yeah. Like, look at how cool Cooper can be.
Can I give you one that's going to blow your mind? You know, every once in a while, this doesn't really strike at the heart of the question, but I'm going to just say this. You know, every once in a while, I bring a birthday to the table and say, this shows you we're getting old?
Oh, yeah.
Winnie Cooper turned 50 years old this week.
Wow.
Winnie Cooper from the Wonder Years is freaking 50. And for people that are in their 40s, that hurts. I'm just telling you, that hurts.
Her name was Danica McKellar. Danica McKellar.
And she's a math genius.
A math genius.
Like a genius.
And I actually talked to Fred Savage. About her. Yeah. Like, wow, mathlete, man. Like, yeah, she was always doing math, even on set. Back in the day.
That's fascinating.
That's wild. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. How do you
there's
get
two way. Wonder Years references on the show today?
How do you get the wife to sign off on Cooper?
I can help. So Clark's name is a family name on his father's side.
Okay.
He was obviously getting his father's last name. I was doing all the heavy lifting.
Yes, that's true.
So I felt like I deserved part of it. So his name is Clark Hughes-Cone. I got the middle name. I negotiate it.
So it still don't help me get the first name.
It still doesn't get Cooper as the first name.
No, but I'm saying,
James, what do I do here?
No, what I'm saying is tell her that, like, if she's got a cool last name, her last name can be his middle name.
Okay, you can try that approach.
That's a thought, I suppose.
I would say this. With this one, take it to someone else. I got nothing for you. It's the first time I'm getting an answer. I don't know what to say.
Really helpful today.
How do you get...
I think you try and make it seem like it's for another Cooper, but not Cooper DeJean. Like, find a Cooper that she likes in some way or another.
I think Cooper DeJean might be awesome enough that it's just like, hey, let's focus in on how cool this guy is.
He takes the name
Cooper to another level.
Meet Cooper DeJean in the offseason. That's my approach.
Maybe.
Try to meet him in the offseason before the baby's born.
Such a high-functioning guy, too. He's got it together.
No, I agree with that. All right, with that, Life Advice with the Hammer. Not my best effort today, but I tried.
It's a hard one.
But not my best performance.
Did you really try,
No, I did. I really couldn't. It was like calculus. I was
stumped. You could talk her into it. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
there are ways.
She might not go there. All right, let's get to Andy and Deptford. What's going on, Andrew?
Are we live? Are we hot? Life Advice, how about Cooper's just a cool name? Like, there's not a lot of Coopers around.
There you go.
Coop is cool.
Coop, you know what I mean?
It's actually a good point.
As far as what life goes, I think it's really good when you're accountable. You know, Joe, you took a step towards it with Sirianni because, I mean, you were trashing him midseason. Like, come on, man. But as far as with the quarterback, I mean, this guy could go down after we win this Super Bowl probably as the greatest Eagles quarterback all time. All time. So you got to
I don't think so. Some will say that, but I definitely have Donovan above him.
Because
definitely.
He has
won a Super Bowl. He did two Super Bowls and one more.
I'm just... telling you,
he's definitely
going
to go down as the best Eagles quarterback all time.
He's got a shot. I'm not saying he doesn't have a shot.
It's not even debatable. But we had to hear you all season. Oh, in 2 years, this guy's not even going to be the starting quarterback for the Eagles. Like, come on, man, you got to start giving more credibility to this, throwing a little bit of shade towards him, because all quarterbacks not named Brady had great wide receivers. Peyton Manning had three Hall of Famers: Harrison, Wayne, Edwin James, and he had Dallas Clark. I mean, come on, man. All great.
Yeah, but he also has the line. He also has the running back. He also has the defense. Do you remember how many games were...
all great quarterbacks had great weapons.
Do you remember how many... Hold on, Andy. Do you remember how many games this year were slogs? Like, I know the last game they scored 55, but remember how many times they barely were scoring and had to, like, eke it out in the fourth quarter?
Did you see Patrick Mahomes slog his way through the season?
All season. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
I'm talking about if Mahomes was the Eagles quarterback, they'd score like 15 extra points a game. What are you talking about? Patrick Mahomes had the best line in football. Saquon Barkley.
Patrick Mahomes and the wide receivers.
Are you kidding me?
This season, he struggled.
Yeah, he plays with Manny Moe and Moe's friend Frank. Well, they stink, those receivers. They stink.
That's incredible.
Here, we're in the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts played every snap. He led this team to where they're at, and you're still throwing shade his way.
No, but hold on, Andy. What I'm doing here is saying I'm not going to go as far as you are, at least at this stage. I'm open-minded to amend my position if I am further impressed to amend it. I'm telling you, and I said it earlier. Said it earlier in the week, and I'll say it again. You know, said it today. Yes. Did I dog Jalen too much? Yes. Is he better than I thought? Yes. Am I going to go as far as you do? In part, just on the last game? No, I'm not. All right, Andy, well, you got a shot to win these tickets. Give me a song.
I got a great song for you. But you said he wasn't going to be our quarterback in 2 years.
Well, people are wrong about things sometimes, and I've already said I was probably wrong about that.
Extremely wrong. Okay. My song. How about Tupac? Hit him up.
Hit him up. Yeah, well, absolutely. So yeah,
without a doubt.
Hell yeah! Wow, that could win. Are we going to have to vote for Andy for Deptford? My God.
He has the best one.
So I'm a big Tupac guy, but Hit Him Up was a little too far for me.
Oh, yeah, you think so?
When he went after the sickle cell?
Yeah, that's dark.
That bothered me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there's a lot in that. I mean, it wasn't just that.
But that's the worst one. That was
one.
A young kid, I think, sickle cell. That wasn't cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Have you looked at the stats of Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts from this season?
I've seen stuff on social media. I generally go right past that because I know the incredible difference of what they have around them skews those stats.
Mm-hmm.
You disagree with that?
I just can't get over the fact that
I just think you go too far with this supporting cast thing. Even Jason Kelsey said there's no quarterback who succeeds without a good supporting cast.
Well,
none.
I am aware that it
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Makes a difference, but
Josh Allen, well, it's amazing. Khalil Shakir's a really nice player. Yeah. Like, they have Amari Cooper there. James Cook is an awesome running back. You cannot succeed in the NFL without talent around you.
All right, let me give you some audio. So this is probably going to tick some people off, but of everything that's been said, anti-Jalen, I'll use that term anti. I don't know if it's the right term, but the most critical thing I've heard about Jalen this week was said by a former NFL receiver, James Jones, who used to play for the Packers. You might remember him. He was one of Aaron Rodgers' receivers. FS1, very critical of Jalen even after the NFC Championship
game. Not a fan.
And again, I want to be very clear. I am clearly telling you I underappreciated and underestimated Jalen. Telling you that straight up. It's all a matter of degrees to which we disagree, but James Jones went far in criticism of Jalen even after the last game. Here's what he said on TV.
I hate it, dog. Number one, you're going to the Super Bowl. All right, you just won the NFC Championship. All right, it ain't rocket science. You've been playing weak, dog. Straight up. When you take the field with the Philadelphia Eagles right now, they say, who you want to beat you? Jalen Hurts. Stop Saquon. Stop A.J. Brown. Stop defense going to do their thing. Let Jalen Hurts beat you. You ain't been balling. And all year long, your coach has gotten up there and had your back. And right here to me, what I took out of it, a straitjacket, that means somebody holding you back, dog, if you say that. That's a shot at the coaches saying they hold you back. You know who else in the straitjacket? Smitty and A.J. Who holding them back? And they getting in trouble for reading books on the sideline, but they've been in straitjackets all year long. 9 games in a row, you threw over 200 yards twice, dog. And barely throwing over 100 yards. And you sitting here talking about you in a straitjacket, them other dudes is in a straitjacket. And all they do is they come up there, they don't say nothing bad about Jalen Hurts. They get in trouble for saying, man, we got to work on the passing. And the coach get up there, and he got your back 24-7. But you want to come up there, and you want to say this smart stuff and act like we ain't going to take nothing out of that. A straitjacket mean you hold me down, dog. You ain't letting me do what I believe I can do. But you know what the tape's showing? People open, people running their routes, and you ain't letting the ball go. Who hold who back, dog?
Is he wrong, John?
Yeah. He's going way overboard with that. Yeah, it wasn't perfect, that's for sure. But, man, he's not saying he's being held back. The straitjacket, look, I think it was a comment about the state of mind. The state of mind of all of us.
Of him saying, I'm willing to not throw the ball a lot, to be careful with it for the best of this team, because that's the way this team's built. That's what they want from me.
Sure.
I think that, and this is what I think he deserves some credit for putting his ego in the back seat and being willing to hand the ball off
James,
a lot.
But James, that was him showing you that he has an ego. Like, I really...
He's an NFL quarterback! Of course, they all have
James,
egos.
You can't say he's putting his ego in the back seat when he says that comment.
Yeah, it was a little aggressive.
It was aggressive. Yeah,
It was not passive at all.
It was aggressive.
Well, it was passive in the sense that some people read it the way James did. Look, in my opinion, I would rather he not said it.
I thought it was terrible.
I think it would have been a bigger deal.
It didn't bother me at all.
It bothered me a little bit. It reminded me a smidge of AJ, you know, pouting on the sideline after the Eagles were beating the Giants.
He said it with a smile.
So much attention.
Could have gone without it.
He gets abused.
He gets ripped
by
all
people
year
like
long.
You.
Oh my God, John! It's
upset.
Not abuse. Yeah. He does get crushed.
The guy.
Two games ago, he had the best game
of his year. He's allowed to throw something at you guys. Like, I think that's allowed.
Yeah. All right. So look, people can weigh in on the Jalen thing.
It's Thursday. The first time we mention it, I don't think he's taken abuse. Certainly not on this show.
No, he's taken abuse all year long, Rhea. You know that.
But
on this show,
deserve it when he took it,
James. He was one of the weaker links on the offense the whole year. You can disagree. I'm telling you my opinion.
They lost one game for real this year.
Offensive line, Saquon, AJ.
They lost one game for real this year.
He's the 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th best player on the offense.
You have no idea
what
they're
asking. He's like the 6th best quarterback in the NFL.
Exactly,
so if that's what that is, it's a great offense.
And we're going to the Super Bowl because of
him. Real quick question. If he wins 14 games next year and then 14 games the year after that, but it looks the same, are you eventually going to be like, well, I guess I got to say, all this guy does is win. He's a good quarterback.
Depends what's around him.
It's nonsense.
Joe, that's where I don't agree with you at all.
The number one defense is part of how they won 14 games. I'm not even talking about the offense. Number one defense, like take Jim McMahon. How good was Jim McMahon? Probably not that good, but he went 15-1 in 1985.
One year. Jalen wins every year,
their offense was actually pretty decent that year.
They were
much better. People only think that Chicago Bears team was a defense. Go back and look at the offensive numbers they put up.
I know. Look, I'm just saying, finding out Winnie Cooper is 50, that hurt me. It did.
Hurts me. I'm with you.
You agree, James?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's surprising.
It is until you stop and think and you think about how old you were when you watched this.
Yeah, I know. But my God. All right, good morning to you.
It's a tough scene here.
Yeah, it's coming up shortly. Time's yours. Let's go to the phones. It's got a lot of reaction of what's been going on through the show, whether it's Kelsey or the Sirianni interview from yesterday that we aired earlier in the program. You want to react to that and all the Jalen Hurts talk, plus your Super Bowl fervor as the Eagles and Chiefs get it going in 10 days. Let's talk to Ellsworth right now in Allentown. What's going on, Ellsworth?
How you doing, guys?
Doing well, Ellsworth.
Doing good. I think the Super Bowl is going to be a great game, and I think we have an excellent chance to bring home another championship to Philadelphia.
I think it's really 50-50, Ellsworth. I'm picking the Eagles, but I will tell you, I think it's just about a 50-50 game, and the line speaks to that. And the last two times they played speaks to that. Last year when the Eagles barely won, you know, on Monday Night Football, and the year before that when the Chiefs barely won in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's very evenly matched.
Basically, every game the Chiefs have played this year has been close, you know?
Yeah, I know.
True. Yeah. Well, the Chiefs barely won a lot of games this year.
That's right.
A lot of games. But I just want to quickly reference your quest for Jimmy Butler. That would be a huge mistake. There's not enough balls for Maxey, Butler, and Embiid.
Paul well, George, I disagree with you. I mean,
well, Embiid doesn't need a ball right now.
Here's the thing, Ellsworth. I understand the point that Maxey and Butler are both ball-dominant players. Okay, I get that. But I'd rather have that than a, I would say, fairly declining, rapidly declining Paul George. There's too many games when Joel doesn't play and Paul George does, and he gives you 12 points. Like, that's not acceptable. It's unacceptable. And by the way, I'm not saying Jimmy's probably not declining a bit himself, but I mean, just who do I trust more as a basketball player, Jimmy Butler or Paul George? Jimmy Butler.
I think if you bring Butler here, you lose Maxey's effectiveness.
And, well, you reduce it. I will agree with that. You reduce
and I don't
it.
Think we can afford to lose that. And what are you going to have to give up to get him?
Well, you can just about swap
Paul
it. There's,
George.
Yeah, there's a little bit of other salary implications, but it could just about be a one-for-one. That would be the basis of the trade, the basic heart of the trade. All right, Ellsworth, give me a song that's got a real-life reference.
Well, I go back to Garden Party by Ricky Nelson. It's the story of him showing up at Madison Square Garden with long hair and a beard and sang him all the old songs. And
you got it, man. All right, pal. Ellsworth, appreciate that phone call. Let's talk to Charlie. He's calling from Northeast Philly. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey.
How are you, Charlie? No one calls you Chuck, right?
Nah.
I just figured
Charlie.
I'd take a stab.
Yeah, like listen to me.
Chuck Brown?
I was very,
Charlie.
I was, yes, Charlie. I was very
Chuck
impressed
Manuel.
With your question this morning. Where would Jalen Hurts be if he was in New York?
Yeah, I mean, basically, my basic point is, would he still have the winner moniker if he was playing for that organization with those players? That was my basic point.
Okay, basically, he'd be in the hospital right now, recovering from a lot of injuries from getting the crap beat out of him out there. And number two, I really wish I had got on with Jason. I would love to know, can guys come back to the huddle during the game, like an A.J. Brown, and say, hey, Jalen, I got this guy beat.
Well, let's turn to John. John was in many huddles.
Every play.
Yeah.
That happens every single snap.
And if I was AJ, I'd be doing that all the time.
He does, I'm sure. And
to me,
the backs all say, hey, we got – hey, the power's there. Hey, the counter is there. Hey, the dive, it's there. Give it to me.
Charlie, is your point you think AJ is frustrated?
I think so. When he said that straight jacket thing, I think that's what he was saying. I'm a little, and I think he's a very good quarterback. I think he does what he's told.
Yeah, me too.
The play is called. He runs it.
I think John takes that. I think you're taking it too far, Charlie. I'll tell you why. I feel pretty confident he's not told, like in the Rams game, take 8 sacks. Don't throw the ball away. I don't buy that. I don't buy it.
But he's told protect yourself.
He is told
protect
yourself and protect the ball.
Don't turn it over.
Yeah. But they want him to throw some of them away.
I'm sure they say take a sack before throwing an interception.
Of course. But they say throw the ball away before you take a sack.
Line. It's a
physically, it's hard to be able to do that sometimes.
Yeah, but it's the quarterback's. But it's the quarterback's job to not take 8 sacks. I mean, when he wasn't being the offensive line wasn't being run over. It is a hard job. It's why
very difficult job. Everyone on that defense is geared to prevent you from doing the job. Well,
I get it. Charlie, give me a great song with a reference in it.
Star Spangled Banner.
Wow. I hadn't even thought of that. Francis Scott Key, War 1812?
I believe so.
Holy mackerel. All right.
You would know better than us, Joe.
Yeah, no, that's what it is. How about that? I like that answer. All right, speaking of answers, let's get to the answer to the Twitter poll question of the day. It is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin Chevy would like to wish the birds the best of luck. Together, let's drive for touchdowns after touchdowns after touchdowns in the big game coming up. Visit ArminChevy.com. They say, of course, as we all say, go birds. Poll question, John. Have people underappreciated Jalen Hurts? A, yes, B, no. How do you think people voted?
Jeez, I hope this is 90%.
Just about. 84. 84% say, and I think by people, I think people understand to interpret it as the populace. Like, not you yourself, but other people. Have the people at large, many people.
I think the results show that people understood that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did. But again, I don't go as far as you guys. But, you know, we've put our lines, our lines in the sand have been drawn, and we'll see where it goes. Look, I hope to be more impressed because, you know, what he did the other day, to me, gives me hope. And we'll see what happens in the Super Bowl. With that said, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
Time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
You know, I've criticized Jalen Hurts plenty since he came to the league. He has improved, that's no doubt. His arm strength is what it is, and his weakness is what it is. Sometimes he just can't see the field. That's just, it's what it is. Sometimes he takes too long and holds the ball, but he can throw the ball. He can play the game. He can help his team win the Super Bowl. I'm not criticizing that anymore. I've seen it. It's okay. Both criticisms and are real, positive and negative.
I think that's a very, very reasonable call.
If Kellen Moore leaves for the Saints and we get a new offensive coordinator next year, the Hurts thing, is it going to come all back? He's going to have another offensive coordinator, and people are going to say, oh, he's good. It's a new offense coordinator now, so he's going to do slow, the terminology, the blah, blah, blah. It'll be like year six or seven. Eventually, it's just got to be, is he good or not?
Okay. So
the answer is yes.
I'm not the least bit concerned about Kellen Moore not being focused. I guarantee he's uber-focused on us winning the Super Bowl. The guy's had success before, and he'll probably be successful as a head coach. Versus the other guy, Jonathan Gannon, who was a complete fraud, benefited from those great defensive stacks he had that year. Bottom line is, this guy's focused. You don't have to worry about him.
Look, I thought Gannon was a much better coordinator than many people thought, but I didn't like the way he handled the Arizona thing, but I thought people dogged him too much.
Guys, we are in a dark time for Philly sports history. And no, I'm not referring to the Sixers. What I'm referring to is the fact that we have to now root for Joe to win Beat the Hammer. May God have mercy on us.
The Hammer!
It's a really dark time.
I don't know how we've arrived at this point.
Well, like, someone pointed somehow, it out.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't.
And James, does it apply to tomorrow?
I don't think it does.
Because then there's the Friday of the Super Bowl. So
yeah,
people root against me tomorrow, you root for me to keep the win streak.
It's not in any way related, guys.
It's related.
The only evidence we have is based on the week of a game. So I don't think tomorrow counts one way or the other.
Tomorrow we root against.
Yeah, tomorrow we root against. We're all united tomorrow.
John, stuff like superstition and all this, these are real.
The Eagles aren't playing anybody tomorrow.
Pro Bowl, actually. NFC. I'm doing it for the NFC in a flag football game.
All right, Joe. Here was your ending line to Nick. Let's win one for the Hammer. Have a great day.
Can you imagine if you had said that to Nick? Hey, Nick, win it for me, buddy.
Go win for me. Go win.
I felt like he was about to get to that point.
Look, I didn't know what to do.
I mean, he really was. It's like he was reaching out, grasping for Nick's hand.
As it's like slipping away. Like, don't know.
You hang up. No, you hang up.
I didn't know what to do.
Nick, don't ever let go, Nick.
Oh, man.
Right.
Well,
he didn't let you on the door.
No, it's okay. That's all right. With that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, let's talk to Danny right now. Good morning, Danny.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Super, Danny.
Awesome. Love the show. Listen to you guys every day.
Thanks.
John, you're awesome. Joe, you're pretty good, too.
thank you, buddy.
But I had a point. I was actually thinking about this last night. It's funny you guys are talking about Jalen as your topic today. But I watched the documentary on Michael Jack Schmidt, and I couldn't help but draw a comparison between him and Jalen.
Interesting.
And, you know, back in the day, I mean, I wasn't around when he was in his heyday, but it was my dad's heyday as a fan in his 30s and stuff. And he always talked about, you know, here we had arguably the best third baseman of all time, and we gave him the worst time possible while he was here. Now, of course, it's changed for him, but I just think about Jalen, and, you know, he's fantastic. His numbers support it, and the main thing I think is that he has the fortitude of character to withstand all the stuff that we dish out at him.
That part, you know? That part's really significant. And by the way, not just the Sunday night through Sunday morning criticisms like you're referring to. He also, I think, is, and this is a tremendous trait that many don't have, unflappable in the 3 hours the game is occurring. Like, we've seen plenty of athletes affected by game circumstances. They play less and things avalanche on them. I don't believe that applies to him at all. And that's really something.
Yeah.
I think he'll always play great, but he's not struggling because it got in his head and the moment became too big for him.
No, I agree. I think that he's built for Philadelphia, or he's adapted to it.
Absolutely.
I don't know which one it is, but it's kind of like Bryce Harper in that way, too. Yeah. You know, like, hey, I'm here to work. I know how passionate you guys are, but I'm going to show up every day, and I'm going to grind, and that's what you're going to respect me for at the end of the day.
Danny.
And maybe he's thinking legacy long term, but that's what I think.
You have to be built for it in advance, and you have to adapt to it while in the process. Yeah. Like, it's not easy. And he's done an amazing job of sort of going with the flow with all this.
All right, let's turn too quickly. Again, we're giving away the Post Malone tickets, pretty cool concert tickets. We're looking for the best song ever that's got a real life reference, kind of judging this based on quality of song, but also quality of references within the song. All right, we're moving fast. Got a couple final answers in here. Thomas in Northeast Philly. Thomas, give me a song.
My song is, so I was originally thinking the Tupac, but I'll go with, since it was already said, I'll go with the Biggie, Going Back to Cali. I don't know if you guys remember.
Of course. Strictly for the weather.
Thomas, I need to ask you a question. Since you were inclined initially to go with Hit 'Em Up, is that what we should vote for? I'm just asking.
I originally thought the same thing as you guys. I thought it was a little too much.
A little too much.
Too vulgar. Yeah.
But it was a great song.
It's the greatest diss track of all time.
All right, Thomas, good call. Let's get one more in here. Rose Ellen, give me a song.
Hi, Elton John, Candle in the Wind.
Wow, that's another great answer.
Because it was used for two women.
Yeah, that could win.
That is a great answer.
Pretty wild.
That complicates things. So we got Candle in the Wind. We've got American Pie. We got Man on the Moon. We got Born in the USA. We got Hit 'Em Up. We got Star Spangled Banner.
The Star Spangled Banner is an incredible answer that I did not consider would be a great answer for this. That's really good.
I love Candle in the Wind because it's two women. I mean, it's Marilyn Monroe and Princess Di.
Yep. American Pie, I think, might be the most entertaining of these songs.
Along with Hit 'Em Up.
Hit 'Em Up is phenomenal. James, give me a vote.
How am I supposed to pick Hit 'Em Up over the Star Spangled Banner?
I did without a problem.
Yeah. Well, one was about an actual war, and one was about an illegal war.
Yeah, I know. I guess I'll go. Hit 'Em Ups. I like the song better.
Two
I'm
votes
going
for
Hit 'Em
Up.
Yeah, I'm
I
sorry.
Am too. Andy, you've won the Post Malone tickets because two votes went for Hit 'Em Up. It's a tremendous answer with Tupac about a quarter century ago. More than that now.